Hello, today we'll begin our lesson with excerpts on the subject of From the Love of Man to the Love of the Creator. I remind you that you can watch the lesson on kab.tv and write us questions there, which may be read here during the lesson.
We talked a lot about it already, that there is no other way except to reach the purpose of creation, which is adhesion with the Creator, and to reach the love of the Creator, which is adhesion, it is possible to do so only by preparing the kli for adhesion, which is through exercises in love of people, in the society, in the group, in the ten. There is no other way. We already received many explanations about that, and we should continue. Yeah.
So we're continuing with excerpt 22 from Baal Sulam, Matan Torah, item 16. If 600,000 men abandon their work for the satisfaction of their own needs and worry about nothing but standing guard, so their friends will never lack a thing, and moreover, that they will keep it with a mighty love, with their very heart and soul, in the full meaning of the mitzvah, of the commandment, love thy friend as thyself, then it is beyond doubt that no man of the nation will need to worry about his own well-being. Because of that, he becomes completely free of securing his own survival and can easily keep the commandment of love thy friend as thyself, obeying all the conditions. After all, why would he worry about his own survival when 600,000 loyal lovers stand by, ready with great care to make sure he lacks nothing of his needs? Therefore, once all the members of the nation agreed, they were immediately given the Torah, because now they were capable of keeping it.
It means that all of the abundance in the world which is revealed only out of as much as it will come as a commandment from above. It does not depend on our work, on our exertion, rather only according to the states that come to us, either for the better or for the worse. For the worse, it means in the way of suffering that we have to be educated by. Therefore, as much as we change our way from Be'ito to Achishena, from in its time to hastening, accordingly, we provide the entire world with all the goodness. And to each one individually, as well as everyone together, this is what it's about. That the provisioning of the world and for each and every one by being in the society that is caring in such a way to all of the friends, each one feels himself that his will to receive, his concern simply disappear from him. They're neutralized. Why? Necessarily by the society caring for him, it controls him this way. And then he does not feel himself as being within his will to receive. It's like a child who knows, he feels that he is under the love of the parents, so he does not care for himself at all. To the contrary, whenever necessary, the parents will take care of each and everything that he needs. This is how the love of the society will influence each and every one. And then no one will think about his will to receive, because a priori, to begin with, he feels that he will be filled up. His will to receive is necessarily neutralized. And then the society also gives him an example of what it is a will to bestow. And when he is removed from the will to receive and he starts engaging in bestow, then the next world truly opens up before him. How do we organize for the members of the group such a feeling of our root so that they will lack nothing and they can care only about bestowal and not reception? Please.
Necessarily, it's the spirit of the society that has to be established in that manner. It seemingly, it doesn't depend on every individual individually. But on the other hand, it does depend on every individual, meaning the extent to which he introduces this spirit into the society, and on the society it depends how easily it allows everyone to just slide into it and operate in the same way.
First of all, there's the importance for it that this thing is a solution, the way to for each one to come out of his ego and to constantly search for what else we can add in this thing.
It's a society where each one annuls himself and establishes a higher value above, and it constantly seeks that value, asking for it to be connected, and from the power of that connection, each individual in the society will feel that warmth and the lack of concern for his self.
There has to be this spirit in the society. And even if there will be such a spirit, each one will feel it only according to the degree by which he will want to build that spirit, as much as each one will want out of himself to take part in this and to be in it, to that extent he will feel it.
Yes, we need to constantly create an environment where the greatness of the goal is the most important thing, so that each one feels that it's the most important thing there can be within that process.
It's a kind of a game that we play, that we commit to play the next degree. So, all of us already are familiar with these states, but beyond, above these states, we have to play towards the friends, to act in order to give them the forces to invite the Creator. It means that we're acting something that we're not there yet, until we come together to the conclusion that because I see everyone in it, I am also being drawn into this prayer.
They can tell me that the whole group is in avud towards me, but if I don't feel it, I can't be freed up to think about the friends. I need to imagine to myself or lie to myself as much as I can, as much as is possible, that even in the worst state, the friends are truly great and they have the power to be in avud towards me, and they're really there doing it. And then I can begin to try to be to free myself from myself and rely on them.
Yes, and then it turns out that as much as I'm included or I am null before the society, I have the ability to also acquire from them these qualities and also to begin to be in it in practice.
How? In practice, without waiting until friends annul themselves towards the society, how can we in practice begin to tell each and every one to really pressure each one with that avut in order to neutralize his will to receive? I have a day where I have to supply all of the friends a measure of avut. By force, even if I don't have it, it doesn't matter. Even if they don't feel it, that also doesn't matter. It is mandatory for me. So how do we, in the 10, determine to project towards each and every friend the influence of the Arvut by force to extract him from the will to receive. How do we plan the day accordingly in order to achieve this?
First of all, we should not forget to quench the friends who did not come here, who have a justified reason for it, to hold all of us as one family. Each one is like a father towards his children, who is constantly concerned about what about them, where are they now, what are they thinking of, what are their thoughts, what are their concerns, to constantly be in it, to try to come back to this thought throughout the day.
Yes, feeling of responsibility towards all of the friends, that obligates you, compels you. All the friends on the screens, look at them. The Creator gave everyone this awakening so that they come to our society, and we have to care for everyone, to ask Him constantly that if He gathered them, assembled them, to open their hearts, to constantly be praying for the friends. And it's a wonderful, huge kli. And we have the great privilege of constantly being in prayer for the friends.
It sounds from the question as though we have to be in that state permanently, constantly, throughout the day, all day. I, in truth, don't know how it is possible not to detach from that. It's not clear to me.
It sounds that it's something that should happen whether we want it or not. Thing is, I first have to make sure the friends feel it, that something within the system is constantly moving. There's always constant motion, so we need to awaken each other constantly. Like yesterday, if it is to call a friend or to give a friend some assignment, to be in some fear if he doesn't do it, to constantly just activate one another.
In a random 10, it's a lot more fluid, all of these decisions of what are we going to do today, how are we going to conduct ourselves, how do we obligate each one to come out of his ego through actions that are going to be done throughout the day. It's actually nice. This random state turns it into a point where if you don't initiate, if you don't throw yourself, and if we don't act, then it's very much felt how much the ego then makes you forget everything. And then the picture is more clear about what is our state.
We need to constantly show the friends that we're in it. Whether if by acting or by just motivating each other. Yesterday in the 10, we held a round of counting from 1 to 10, where each one counts by himself, and then we kept completing this count to 10 throughout the day. We did it 20-30 times, I think. Seriously. So, and it awakens you because you're thinking about everyone. You see how the friends are in this constantly, and it generates power. We created some game that we play together where each one is responsible for the other.
How much does the random 10 give me a feeling that I missed out on the day? And tomorrow, it's something else. It's not like yesterday. I cannot pass it from today to tomorrow. I can't pass anything. It's a new kli. So, how much does the random 10 give me that feeling that I'm about to miss out on the day? Go ahead.
I think that this is perhaps one of the most prominent and powerful things in the random 10s. Seeing that, well, the day is made of 24 hours, there's an evening, there's the daytime, and every moment or hour that passes never repeats, never returns. So it's very powerful, and we need to utilize this to awaken ourselves by that.
Yeah, yesterday we drove after the lesson, a few friends, And they were all talking about it, that everyone has this feeling that if I don't carry out today all of the tasks that I'm supposed to carry out, I'm going to miss out. That's it. The day is gone, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So it compels you to do the maximum today, not to take into consideration what we're going to have, what's going to happen tomorrow or not going to happen. Today you have to do whatever you have to do.
Yes, and we want to transition from the calculation of what am I doing to that of for whom am I doing it. So that will all be as 110 in relating to the Creator and the whole world Kli as a group. And to constantly be calculating how much contentment we're giving him by that. We have limited time, limited opportunities, so every moment needs to truly be new to us, where we feel that we were given an opportunity from above to seek this unity between us and to ask for it, so that we can pray for the entire Kli. We can feel now that it's not about me, what did I do, who did I fill. Rather, we as a 10 need to serve the Creator in the area we were given to work.
Rav, how, in my attitude to the random 10 of today, I determine my state with respect to the random 10 of tomorrow? As it says, today to do them and tomorrow to receive the reward for it. So what will happen tomorrow is a result of the day before, of today. How do I prepare myself today as well as for tomorrow?
You can really say that this sensation is being built up of this cumulative 10, where the 10 of tomorrow is the outcome of the actions we carried out throughout the day, and everything that we failed to do, the moments where we were separated, they all accumulate as sorrow. And that is truly the work, because ultimately we need to be above the bodies, above personal calculus. And therefore, we're at this degree now where the faces keep being replaced, but the feeling is one.
Yeah, it's like each 10 has a rope and it pulls the next 10. So if you don't do the work properly, then you get stuck. You're in the same place. You can't move to the next 10 because there's something that's lacking, something that you did not complete. This dependency becomes very much felt.
Yes, on a daily basis, I keep determining what my next state, our next state, will be. And the hand is on the pulse, scrutinizing. If there is some effort to connect, then we can feel how it pours out to the next 10, and you reach it with some inertia. And it increases and increases. You gather this acceleration, accumulate acceleration from the replacement of the bodies, because there's something greater at work.
I'd say that as much as we exert today in the connection between us, we can already generate the state of tomorrow in the comparison or equivalence between us and the Creator. This is called tomorrow's 10. It's another degree. And we can go through numerous, infinite number of tens that we can go through in all the different combinations. We can go through all of these in the lesson today. We just have to develop this sensitivity.
Yes, everything is built like the vessels and the lights, necessarily so. And this process is like a wave with ascent and descent. And it all depends on the extent to which we can accelerate this process. It's going to be a sense and descent, necessarily so, but we can follow that wave, ascending and descending with it by investing And on that, the next state depends.
And then it becomes
excerpt 23 from Noam Elimelech, Likutei Shoshana. One must always pray for his friend, as one cannot do much for himself, for one does not deliver oneself from imprisonment. But when asking for his friend, he is answered quickly. Therefore, each one should pray for his friend, and thus each works on the other's desire until all of them are answered. This is why it was said, Israel are arevim, or responsible for one another, where arevim in Hebrew also means sweetening, or sweetness, as they sweeten for each other by the prayers that they pray for one another, and by this they are answered. And the mainstay of the prayer is the thought, because by thought, in the thought, his prayer can be received more easily.
What is the depth of the Arvut when it says that Israel are responsible for each other? And in what is this sweetness expressed? Please.
Sweetness is when I come out of my will to receive, when I no longer care for myself.
The concern for myself becomes very bitter, and the sweetness is in the friends, in seeing the Creator operating through the friends, in the privilege to care for them. And we as a society need to, the more we place this value that the sweetness in the friends, then we will be more in our wood and less in our own prison.
It sounds seemingly as if I'm accumulating more and more concerns, both in quality and quantity, so it sounds like a burden or something that's impossible. But in truth, there is sweetness in this concern.
I think that, first of all, this is the Creator's desire. This is what we know. This is what we have to come to. That's one. Two, this place that we even have this opportunity to actualize, it in practice, there are many people who have no clue about it. They don't even realize that this is what has to be done. So the opportunity to actualize it each and every day, this is something that can cause, I don't know, awaken the greatness of the goal in us.
The Arvut is absolute, and it already exists. The Kabbalists tried about them discovering it as something that already exists. We just have to open our eyes and recognize this complete and total mutual dependency we have on one another. Not to let the ego hide it. And I'm not certain what it means, what they mean by sweetness, but it's a path that we traverse together with the Creator, and it sweetens the bitter pill that we have to swallow.
The intensity is 600,000, and this means that this common kli that we've built with this intensity will be filled up with the light of chassadim. This is the sweetness that enables
love. How do we reach the bitter, and how do we turn it into sweetness? What is bitter, which inverts into sweetness? Where it's clear to us that if you don't swallow if you don't chew on the bitter herbs, then you don't come out of Egypt, as is written. Please.
It's like the difference between the desirable and the existing situation. So the recognition of evil, how much do we reach the oppositeness, It's a place which is without purpose. It's like a pit without any way to come out of it, and it disawakens in us the place for the prayer. This is the inversion that occurs.
Yes, it's from the feeling that I'm concerned with myself. That's the bitterness, all of these concerns and worries. I don't have the energy to care for the friends. I don't have any importance for that. It's not crucial. I worry only for myself. And when the friends begin to care for me, then I can switch to that opposite care.
Yeah, at first, concern for myself seems to me as sweet. That's what I'm used to. But the more I get this love from the friends who care for you all the time, you begin to see how much concern for yourself is bitter. You begin to see how far away you are from them, how much you don't have it. And then a prayer is born to truly be like the friends, to bestow back to the friends that you want to truly be as Malchut towards them, constantly bestowing to them. And this is out of the concern of the friends that they are showering you with, that this gap is born and the demand to be like them.
The bitterness stems from the concern for myself and the inability, the failure from being in a avut between us, and bitterness develops from that until we reach the cry for the Creator to establish a constant, permanent connection between us. And that's the point where the bitter turns into sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Thanks to the friends, I begin to feel the lack of taste in the will to receive. I feel lack of pleasure. I want to feel good. On the other hand, what is it you feel in your kelim? You start feeling bad. And then only the connection between us is what becomes sweet. Only truly this ervut and thinking about the friends.
There are many examples for actions which are unpleasant to carry out alone, but if we do it in a group, it turns into a sort of game, and it's even fun. Because you see that there are other people who share your situation, you identify with them and they with you, and it's even eating maror, bitter herbs, in Leila Seder. Who enjoys that? But when we eat that bitter and repulsive thing together, then it's fun. Everyone laughs because we do it together. It's an action of connection, ultimately.
The feeling of the bitter herb is that one sees that he doesn't care about the friends, he doesn't worry about them, but not only that, it's not that only that he ascribes it to himself. He sees that he cannot ascribe it to the Creator. And this is the true feeling of bitterness.
As we exert to connect, we discover the bitter. And
Rav, how do we determine that all of these sensations of bitterness come to us from the Achoraim, the posterior of the Creator, and all of the sweetness comes from His Panim, His anterior, His face?
Panim and Achoraim, we want to diagnose them as the thought about connection and avut, and the posterior, the choraim, we want to see it as the thought about myself.
The way that we connect everything, relate everything to Einot Milvado, there is none else besides him. If we don't manage to do it, we try to think this way, but we don't manage to do so. It shows us how much we are in equivalence of form or not.
We have some feeling to begin with, if we have some connection or lack of connection. Even if one doesn't exactly feel the Creator, the connection he feels with the friends, it is something concrete. in this world, we were given friends to work with. And the extent to which I feel close or far from them and what is the essence of the connection, I can begin to start examining it. And there, the feeling will later be revealed that it's the Creator at work. At first, I don't have the Creator or anything, but you are given an environment with which to begin to work and sense and relate to, and that is the greatness of the society.
It's like two channels that work in parallel, work opposite the friends and work opposite the Creator. And in a certain stage, in a certain point, these have to connect. And you need to see the connection between whatever I feel and see with regarding the friends that it comes from the Creator. You can't just work with the Creator, with the friends, or just with the Creator. You have to work in parallel until it joins in one picture.
So there's the stage where everything that comes from the Creator, and you need to really grasp that, grab hold of it, both in the bitter and the sweet states. And also, all of these states guide me towards the fact that I can't reach the Creator if I don't work with my friends, if I don't exert. There's no chance of it happening. So that keeps focusing me, showing me the right path, the friends, Alvut. And if not, I feel it comes as bitterness, as punishment.
24, Ravash, run, my beloved. This is a great rule that the person himself is called a created being, creature, meaning only he alone. Other than him, it is already considered the holy Shekhinah, divinity. It follows that when he prays for his contemporaries, it is considered that he is praying for the holy Shekhinah, who is in exile and needs all these salvations. This is the meaning of eternity. And precisely in this matter, the light of mercy can be revealed. Another reason we should pray only for the general public is the need to disclose the light of mercy, which is the light of bestowal. It is a rule that it is impossible to receive anything without equivalence. Rather, there must always be equivalence. Hence, when one evokes mercy on himself, it follows that he is engaged in reception for himself. And the more he prays, not only is he not preparing the kli of equivalence, but to the contrary, sparks of reception form within him. It turns out that he is going in the opposite way. While he should prepare vessels of bestowal, he is preparing a vessel of reception. Cleave unto his attributes, specifically as he is merciful, so you be merciful. Hence, when he prays for the public, although through his prayer he engages in bestowal. And the more he prays, to that extent he forms a vessel of bestowal by which the light of bestowal, called merciful, can be revealed. And by receiving the light of mercy, there is later on the ability for that quality of merciful to be revealed.
Well, these are lofty matters. This question is more simple. How can I see everything that's outside of me as the Holy Divinity? And what is it?
Divinity and everything outside of me, first of all, it's the Ten. The Ten gives me the possibility to see my own soul in a way that I can somehow grasp, at least in the early stages. And this is how I need to see each and every friend. It's a part of my soul, not only in corporeality as someone else, meaning to rise above the perspective of this world and constantly to aim for the spiritual reality.
It can be seen, you can see everything. You can see everything outside of me as the Holy Divinity if I elevate it to that degree. If I make it so important to me that if I connect it to myself, it reaches the degree of the Holy Divinity.
The Holy Divinity is a lack for bestowal. It is a kli. We in our society very much want to elevate this quality, this thing that each one who is included in a society will feel how much he's lacking that, how much it is something that he would have liked to have. We need to give it a greatness and a volume and to be aimed towards the society, the environment. This is the kli of bestowal.
How can I see that outside of me it's all the Holy Divinity? Through the connection with the friends. I see it only when the friends think about it. Only with the help of the friends. Where together we invoke the light.
Yes, I constantly see outside of me shattering and separation, and I have to constantly ask for this connection. And the example for that comes to me from the friends. And we need to together to manufacture this prayer that by myself I don't even want to see it, not divinity, not holiness, and I'm stuck on the plane of the will to receive, and constantly this desire to rise to the next plane, to detach from this plane. It's out of the work of the society where we generate this greatness of bestowal, and we constantly want to see that and be in that. It's the friends.
What I see and what I feel are outcomes of the society's actions upon me and my inclination to integrate into it.
Yes, exactly. If I'm integrated in all of the actions that the society performs, I can see it, I can feel it. This society has to constantly lead me to this constant prayer of each one for the others.
So it follows that the society enables each one to see the Creator, actually, the revelation of divinity. Because in our egos, we can't do that. We need to see through someone else, so to speak, through other characters. We just have to aim correctly through the writings of the Kabbalists and the lessons and the connection in the group. That's the mechanism which allows us to see reality as divinity and not as just something that's not me.
It's like a bar of gold that is in the ground, and I can say, oh, it's just a stone, a rock, but if I lift it and I bring it closer to the light and I rub it, I scrub it and I work with it, then I begin to value it even because I just invested in it. And if later on I want to discover in this group, in everything that is outside of me, the quality of bestowal, then I actually see that yes, this is the kli.
As I change, I become able to see the extent to which I'm in the Shechina, which is the society.
Excerpt number 5 from Rabash, second volume. What does it mean that the Torah, or why is the Torah called the middle line in the work? One should believe that there is none else besides him, which means that the Creator is compelling him to do the good deeds. However, because that person is still unworthy of knowing that it is the Creator who commits him, the Creator dresses himself in dresses of flesh and blood, for which the Creator performs these actions. Thus, the Creator acts in the form of Achoraim, posterior. In other words, the person sees people's faces, but he should believe that behind the faces stands the Creator and performs these actions. That is, behind the person stands the Creator and he compels him to do the deeds that the Creator wants. It follows that the Creator does everything. However, the person regards what he sees and not what he should believe.
How do we divide the whole of reality into the Creator acting through Achovaim and the Creator acting through Panim, posterior and anterior. And we are in the middle. But everything, it's all, there's none else besides Him. He does everything. So how do we receive the Creator's actions through Panim and Achovaim? That's the only thing that happens, but that it all comes from Him.
Not to pay attention to the feeling. I can feel good, I can feel bad. With everything, I justify it that the action or the feeling that I feel, it is the Creator who is now projecting Himself to me. So, first of all, together, we tie all of our sensations, so there is none else besides Him, and He's good and as good. All of these sensations, all of the states that we go through, it is only in order for us to connect.
We were given a taste of there's none else besides Him, some sensation that there is something managing everything. And you're brought to the society, and then this sensation is taken from you. And then, on occasion, because of the work in the group, you're given this sensation back according to your efforts, and again it is taken away. And so, every time you're being brought closer to the society, like with a carrot, and the more we exert in the more in there's none else besides Him, and the more we make an effort and ask for it, it can, another degree of that connection can open up to us, if there's none else besides Him. And gradually that becomes actual reality, and less so the day-to-day, the separation.
Yeah, the work is to tie everything to Him. And from there, it's like Avril said, not to pay attention to the feeling, I'm now in a Panim or a Hawaii, but first of all to attribute everything to the Creator and to keep working between us. And later on we will see when it is the revelation of the face or the revelation of the back, but I don't think that now it is relevant to our work.
Yes, that's how Avud is measured. When we think for one another, about one another, praying for one another, then a person can start to believe that every state that comes from there's none else besides Him. But it's only thanks to us praying and...
Rav, let's remember what he writes, Baal HaSulam, in the revelation and concealment of the face of the Creator. The revelation of the face, the concealment of the face. So how should we each time determine that it comes only from the Creator, but through concealment or revelation? And what should be our response in both of these states? Please.
הסתר וגילוי זה חלקים של התקדמות, וכדי לראות את הכיוון הכללי של ההתקדמות של
revelation are two parts of our existence, and in order to not fall into this personal bitterness and concealment, we need the ten, so that throughout the day we'll remind each other that the ascents and descents are all part and parcel of the advancement, if the goal is before our eyes.
Yeah, you can say, I don't know if this is exactly what it says in the essay or in general, but everything depends on our earlier exertion. If we work on the connection between us, on ascribing everything to Him, then we can see it as panim, as face, and if not, then the situation still occurs. It calls us, but we are in the back, posterior. And if we don't work enough, then maybe we are in double concealment, that it's not this or that.
Yes, ultimately it depends only on our vessels and our relation to, how do we relate to the friends and the society. Then we can see it's this or that. What we have to do with every exertion is to see that it's our response. It doesn't come like that from the Creator, from the friends. Rather, it is up to us to make the effort to introduce the Creator into this picture and to know that it's our kli, our vessel, that has to be tended to.
And most importantly, it is to hold on to the goal. This is what is important, that we are coming to the connection and discovering the force of bestowal between us, the force of love. And everything else, it's along the way. It doesn't matter what we feel. It's on the way. The most important is to hold on to the goal.
Yes. Hold on to the friends who chose the goal, and then the goal will be before you as well.
But what did it say there in the article about the revelation and concealment, that if one is in revelation, that all of the friends seem to him as well, it's as though, if I remember correctly, that everything is with respect to the friends, and if once one is in revelation with respect to the Creator, then all the friends seem to him as righteous and successful, and if not, then it's the opposite. All of the people who are not engaging in the work of the Creator, well, that's what I remember. Anyway, this connects for us the influences of the Creator and the results in what I see around me in the friends.
Yes. My attitude to the friends always remains, if I see them as great or not. A person doesn't exert if he doesn't see that the friend is great. That's the acting that we constantly talk about.
Yes, the concealment and disclosure, the friend and the tend versus this connection, and myself, the Creator versus the lack of the feeling of the Creator. These are all discernments. I don't know, to me it feels again as though there is no prevention, there's no way to avoid going through all the connections and these connections. There's only the choice of the environment, that you can do it together with them and in the right pace, together with this environment.
Concealment is where one can't see that he can attain the quality of bestowal in the ten. He thinks that perhaps it's not with this ten, maybe tomorrow, we'll wait another day. And the disclosure can be where he truly sees the greatness of the friends and how the Creator stands behind them. And he feels the need to hold the friends in Alvut and to pray for them more and more until the Creator is revealed in the connection.